Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi there, and welcome to New Life Live. So glad you've tuned in today. We've got a really special program today with a special friend of New Life, and that special, she's been on before. She's spoken at our recovery conferences before, and before I welcome Amanda Anderson, I'll welcome Milan Yurkovich. Hey, Milan.
Hey, Steve. How are you?
I am good, and really excited to have Amanda on because she has accomplished what many people want to accomplish. She has published a book, and it's called All My Friends Have Issues. Amanda, welcome.
Thank you, Steve.
We're glad you're here. And, of course, Amanda is also going to be speaking at our recovery conference, our life recovery conference that we're doing on October the 5th in Irvine. And that conference is called 12 Steps to Happier, and that's a bit of a reference to the Serenity Prayer, where it ends by saying, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with Him in the next. So I hope and pray that you'll think about that. Amanda will be speaking. But right now, Amanda, let's talk about this book, All My Friends Have Issues. And, of course, it's got a great subtitle. And the subtitle tells us that it's not just about everybody's got a problem, but you're really hoping that people can build relationships, live with the issues, work out the issues. Isn't that right?
That's right. So the subhead is building remarkable relationships with imperfect people like me. Mm. So it's not a book for people who are perfect to go tolerate people who have problems.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's probably, there's not very many people that would want that. Well, actually, No. Maybe they think they would want it, but they really don't.
I don't think that's an unpopular view, actually, that people would be in that group, personally. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's interesting because really everything that we talk about here, and like with Milan and Kay and how we love, is we're all looking at some common imperfections or issues mm-hmm. that we have. And here you're telling folks, hey, this is reality, and here's how we work through them and grow with our friends mm-hmm. versus accepting and patting someone on the head, oh, you're sick, I'll stick with you. This is really a practical guide to a deep friendship. What do you think is, let's just say, one of the most important things in a friendship, being a real, live, authentic, down-to-earth friendship?
I think the key to being an authentic friend is self-awareness, because mm-hmm. you can't share yourself authentically if you don't know yourself. And sure. So the beginning of the book talks about the concept that I need to be constantly pursuing rigorous honesty with myself and then share it as I discover it with safe people and develop safe relationships that way. Because, you know, as Jesus said, we can all walk around and recognize the speck in someone's eye and ignore the plank in our own. So mm-hmm. I can't be authentic if I don't know me.
Right. And you know what? It's just a fact of life. Mm-hmm. We are blind to many of the things that exist within us. And mm-hmm. if we don't have a real, live, authentic friendship where somebody could say, hey, have you thought about this? Mm-hmm. Or here's something that I'm noticing. If that just causes shutdown, we're never going to be able to grow. True. All right, well, there's the music. We're going to take a break. You can join us, 1-800-229-3000. 1-800-229-3000. If you were on the program, or if you listened to the program Friday, it's a great program with Ken Harrison. I was at what some people call Wally World. It's actually Holiday World with my family. We were camping. Sorry I missed that show, but it was really good. And if you have any desire to hear it, you know, you could go to the website, you could get the app, you go to newlife.com, go to the App Store, get the New Life app, Facebook, it's there too. But really, great, great program. We'll have him back. He's an amazing guy, and they're relaunching Promise Keepers, and it's going to be good. 1-800-229-3000.
Have you experienced a crushing blow to your world? Do you feel all alone or humiliated? Do you feel inadequate, judged, confused, or devastated? Then I think you need Restore.
Hi, my name is Shelley Martinkus, and I want to personally invite you to the Restore Workshop. If you have been affected by betrayal, I would love for you to come join us.
At Restore, it's a shame-free zone, a safe environment. You'll feel like you have more options. You can rebuild your life with or without him. You'll have more faith in the future and God. I think it's time to invest in yourself.
The Restore Workshop is coming to Dallas, Texas, July 19th to the 21st. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE to find out more. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here with Amanda Anderson and Mylon Yurkovich. Amanda's brand new book. It's really a great one. It's All My Friends Have Issues, Building Remarkable Friendships with Imperfect People Like Me. Really sorry I missed on Friday. I was camping out with the family at Holiday World, rode several roller coasters that were beyond my age limit, and Solomon and I were on this one called Legend, and when it was done, he looked at me and said, "Dad, are you okay?" He says, the whole way I'm going, it was true. So anyway, other than the slip disc that I have, I had a great weekend there and glad to be back. And again, Ken Harrison, Promise Keepers CEO, they're relaunching. If you want to watch that program, you can do it on the YouTube channel or the New Life app, newlife.com. But we're glad that Amanda's here. And here's this book. And it surely has to be a great book for this day and age, in that so many people are disconnected. Why do we need to really focus on the face-to-face, the connection stuff so much that is being neglected today?
Well, New York Post reported a month ago that the average American hasn't made a new friend in the last 5 years.
Whoa. That's amazing.
Which is amazing. And the article went on to say it didn't mean that they necessarily had long-term friendships, too. They are just in isolation, whereas we're focusing on getting more and more followers, more and more friends on social media. And so people can fool themselves into thinking they have relationships by, you know, scrolling on their phone. They feel disconnected and anxious, and they might just sit on social media. And that's like chewing gum when you're hungry. It gives you something to do, but you're not really being nourished. So I really hope the book inspires people to develop face-to-face relationships, because I don't believe you can really know someone unless you're in the same room. We read each other's body language. We make eye-to-eye contact. And that's where we really find comfort and connection and emotional connection. Not that you can't maintain friendships on the phone, but most of my best friendships I met in real life, doing real life together. So I hope that inspires
so
people.
So many of the people, however, that I'm sure that poll reflects upon are people who never had anybody ask them any questions their whole life.
Mm. Mm.
They didn't grow up with somebody inquiring, mm-hmm. helping them, as you said earlier, identify and learn self-awareness, mm-hmm. or to observe themselves. Their self-observation skills mm-hmm. are missing, because no parent ever reflected to them what they see. Mm-hmm. You know, in Genesis 4, when God says, "Cain, your countenance is fallen."
Mm.
He could see his body language, and he addressed that.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're right. We have a whole generation of people that don't know how to connect, but odds are they never learned it.
Right.
And okay, so that's what the church needs to do is teach that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and so before we go to the calls, I'll give you the number here, 1-800-229-3000. So let's just say I'm one of these people that hasn't made a new friend in an average of 5 years. What is this book going to teach me so that I might end up in another 5 years being able to say, well, I've made 10 new friends over the past 5 years. I don't fit in that category anymore. What do you have there that is a really great value for folks who sense I need to make some friends?
Well, one of the things, the obvious thing, I'm writing it, I'm thinking this is so obvious, but like leave your house, join a support group, show up to a Bible study, take a class, find a place to meet people. But one of the things I really hope is helpful is it talks about the difference between being authentic and being intimate and how to reveal things about yourself in safe ways over time. Because so many people who I talk to when I speak to women's groups say, well, I tried to be authentic and people ran away. But what happened was they just met someone and then they threw out their darkest stuff like as
too
a dare.
Much.
If I tell you it all right now and you run, then it'll be this self-fulfilling prophecy. If you really knew me, you don't love me. So I kind of try to walk women through, this is how you actually share yourself in safe and healthy ways so that you have confidence in the people that you're sharing confidences with.
Yeah,
because
that's
good. No one taught me that. So I'm a chronic oversharer. I'm a recovering oversharer.
Well, and it really is important that we share with a motive of loving well, that this is part, I love this person, I want to share who I am. I don't want to dominate the conversation or the relationship. I don't want them to heal whatever it is I share. I want them to know me, and I want to know them in return. So motive, very, very important. Well, you know, Amanda has given us a little path here toward being authentic, but not being overbearing on another person. And we see that sabotage or self-sabotage so often, and we want to help folks like that, and this could do it. All my friends have issues. One sure way to not have friends with issues is to not have friends. Now you have the biggest issue, so this will help you with the bigger issue than not having any friends. All right, here we go. Let's go with Lisa. Fort Worth, Texas is where she's calling from. KWRD. Hi there. How you doing?
Hi, how are you?
Great. How are you today, and how could we help?
So I just, I'm doing great. Thanks for asking. I just got married a year ago, and I have four new stepchildren, and the oldest, who's 26, male, kind of verbally attacked me with profane language, cursed my marriage to his father, and we're all believers. He has some really deep-seated unforgiveness and grudge against his father, but he took it out on me. I count myself as somebody who loves healthy relationships. I'm an outgoing extrovert, and I just feel led to not let this stew and to have something done about it. But we live very, very far away from him. We reached out to his pastor, and radio silence. So I need help and just wanted to know what you guys thought.
Well, let me ask the most pressing issue on my mind, and that is this. What was your husband's response, and what has he done about it since then?
So he came home from work after I told him what happened, and he got on the phone with his son and said, "You owe my wife, your new stepmother, an apology." And then he reached out, and then, you know, the son refused. I don't owe her anything. And then he reached out via message to his pastor, and his pastor, you know, alluded that he was going on vacation and that he will get back to him. And now it's 3 weeks later. And I will say that my husband is he's an avoider.
Mm-hmm.
But I was proud of him for asking him to tell me he is sorry for what he has said. So he did make an effort, but I come from a very different type of family, so this is a struggle for me.
Sure. Just curious if anybody has any insight as to why the boy had these words to say to you.
Yes, just because... So high conflict family past. Mother left my husband for a convicted convict. The children felt very confused and sad that my husband didn't do more for the situation, like did not come in and rescue them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I believe, from what I know, is bitterness, deep-seated bitterness and grudges, unforgiveness, big time.
Okay.
I mean, this is like all four of them. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So I want to hear Mylon's thoughts on this, and then we're going to hear from Amanda as to what she would think. Mylon, what are you thinking is central to this conflict? What would be a next step that we would want in the best of cases? What would be a good next step? But what are you thinking?
So, Lisa, you use the word blended family. I don't use that word because
okay.
Just per your point, many families like yours don't blend well. And the reality is the kids are hurt. They're angry. And you seem to discredit emotions as being valid, especially if they're negative emotions, as though that's wrong or they have to apologize. But they're hurt. They've been through a war zone. And
yeah.
We never stop. You know, it's interesting because a person gets a divorce, they find someone new, they fall in love, and then they drag the children into that love relationship. The children didn't fall in love with you, the husband did.
Mm-hmm.
So they're on a different timetable than you are. And some of them, and I've seen this so much over the years. So here's what I would recommend doing, and I think this is an entirely different approach, but if you called their pastor, I'm deducing that the pastor's role would be to shame him or tell him to be obedient and not be bitter and not be angry and to apologize. That would be the role of the pastor. I don't think that's what this young man needs. Somebody needs to sit down with him and ask a simple question. What hurts? You really hurt. Let me listen to what hurts inside of you. And then to even be able to say, you didn't pick this marriage, your dad did. So you're a drag along. And these kids are not really, who says this is what they wanted? Maybe they wanted their mom and dad to be together. Maybe they wanted things to change. You indicated that. So Lisa, I can understand how you'd be hurt, and I empathize with you as the newcomer. But I would take the role of simply talking to the young man instead of commanding and demanding a forgiveness statement, saying to him, your behavior is telling me that something really hurts inside. Could we talk about it?
Mm-hmm.
And that's an entirely different approach.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
I guarantee you that that's your best shot at breaking into this young man's life.
Mm-hmm. Amanda, what are your thoughts here?
What I noticed you saying is that his heart is filled with bitterness and unforgiveness, and that's an implication that there was something in the past that he needs to let go of, but this young man's hurt is current. It's not a past hurt. You mentioned that you live far away. So he's struggling with, he has a father who's an avoider, which means probably wasn't super emotionally present. He's literally left physically the space and not protected him. So he's currently, and again, I empathize with your position,
mm-hmm.
But the son doesn't need to be spiritually rebuked for unforgiveness. He needs to be recognized that he's currently being harmed mm-hmm. or hurt at the moment. It's not in the past for him. It's the present, and it's still his future. So I agree. Get a pastor to listen to him rather than rebuke him.
No, what I'm saying is that Lisa needs to listen to him
yes.
and not invite a third party in. Lisa
yeah,
is the one that needs
better.
To walk straight in
mm-hmm.
to this young man's life and say, you hurt, tell me all about it.
Mm-hmm.
Even to be able to say, it must be hard to have me in the family mm-hmm. and to watch your family fall apart.
Right. I agree. I take it back.
No, don't. No. That's okay. Lisa, what else were you going to say right there?
No, I love these kids. I mean, you may not believe me or understand why I love them, but I understand their pain.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I actually, the conversation that I had with him was for almost 2 hours. Mm. I didn't hang up. I kept my voice very monotone, and I said, you know, I understand that you're hurting, but you have to understand also, you know, your dad. You guys have to understand each other, but he and I have, he doesn't want to listen to me. So you guys are right. I mean, but I will say I don't want the pastor to rebuke him. Mm. I need a mediator on the East Coast to help facilitate. So, you know, you're right. Someone does need to sit down, but I'm not physically there to say that.
Yeah.
And on the phone, he'll hang up on me. So this is
let me
great.
Ask you this real quick.
Yeah.
Let me ask this. When, how long did you guys date before the marriage? How long were you together?
1 year.
1 year. Did you do any counseling with the kids or anything like that?
Well, if I can brag, I mean, it's all God. Can I brag on God?
Sure.
I have one child of my husband's that lives with me. This child has turned around because of New Life. I got him a New Life counselor. He wanted to commit suicide. Dr. Daniel Amen's book. I did the test.
All right, hold on. We'll finish with it.
My wife had found me out through my past and my sexual addiction since I was a small child. It really gave me the opportunity to start digging into my past, start digging into my childhood, figure out what was causing me to feel the way I was feeling. Every Man's Battle will really give you that opportunity because all the guys there in that room are there for the exact same reason you're there. I don't want to be the reason that my kids are going to counseling. I don't want to be the reason that they begin to struggle with the same issues that I'm struggling with, and I've got to put an end to this. Yes, you can be different. God does love you. You can be forgiven for this, and there's a way out of this. But you have to acknowledge that you have to change, and that there's a problem.
If you're struggling, call us. There are people on the other end of the line who want to hear from you, who want to help you. We don't want you to hand down something to another generation that just looks like pain and destruction. You can hand down redemption, but you got to take that first step. Just give us a call. It's 1-800-639-5433. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Amanda Anderson is our guest. And, of course, this great book, you can get it through us. All My Friends Have Issues. We've heard about this book coming. It's a good one. And maybe this could be the bridge for you to new friendships. We're talking with Lisa. And Lisa, you still there?
Yes. Yes. Hi.
Hearing this situation where you turned around the child that moved in with you. How old is that child?
17.
17. From being suicidal to now they're doing really well. It supports a belief that. Probably that 1 year period wasn't quite enough time for the kids. And probably during that year, there weren't enough things talked about. You say that your husband's an avoider, that would resolve some of these things, or I really believe that if you knew, I'm just guessing here. How about that? I'm guessing that if you knew that this older child hated you, cursed the marriage and all this, that you might have thought, oh, maybe we ought to wait and do some things that might give more time, give some resolution, get some issues out. Because Mylan doesn't like the term blended families, because a lot of time blended families are bleeding families and everybody's hurting and it's painful. So I'm using this as an example to say to the couple that's listening who are about to blend their family after knowing each other for 6 months. I'm using this as an example of saying, hey, don't do that. That's too soon. We need to be sure that the kids are brought along as much as possible, because these children, it's a big deal, or that it should be. In this case, I think you might think about this approach. You ask your husband to call the boy back and say, and if he doesn't want to talk with him, then he writes him a letter or he emails him. And he begins the process of repair this way. I've made two really big mistakes. Number one, I didn't really consider all of your feelings before we got married. And I want you to forgive me for that. Didn't really know how deep they were until this incident occurred. And of course, that's kind of typical for me. I kind of avoid things. The second mistake I made was when you finally let your feelings be known, I acted like I didn't care about your feelings. I just wanted an apology. I wanted a result. I wanted you to do something. And I hope you'll forgive me for that. I'd like to come and visit. I'll stay in a hotel, but I'd like you to at least give me some time face to face, eyeball to eyeball, and I want to hear everything that you're feeling. That might be the biggest giant step toward resolution, healing, and acceptance. It would be extremely painful for your husband to do that, for him to sit there and hear all of this stuff. Even if the son didn't agree to the meeting, he would know there was a desire for it, and he would surely read the letter that followed that would more fully explain how bad your husband feels about not bringing all the kids and their feelings out in the open more, doing more work, giving more time before putting the marriage together. Now, those are my thoughts after just hearing a few things about this. What do you think about that approach with your husband?
I love it. I love it. I'm going to share this with him.
And your husband should know it's done in the spirit of not who's right, who's wrong, whatever, but it's just, okay, here we are. How do we get beyond it? This probably, this major, major step on his part might be the best way.
You know, Steve, a conversation like this should not have any buts in it. When we listen well, we aren't trying to fix it. And avoiders classically want to fix something to get it out of the way and get it passed and minimized and dismissed. So we don't want to go that route. A great listener just listens, and they don't try to fix the behavior of the other person. All they're trying to do, and they're not trying to change a situation. The person that is speaking, the 26-year-old, should watch them walk away and think, wow, they really wanted to hear me, not give me a lecture or throw Bible verses at me or hyper-spiritualize this thing. They just wanted to listen to me. And that's how you want them to feel when you walk away. Listen today, fix tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So to separate these two things is really an important point.
And, you know, I just think it would be such a radical move on the part, especially, you know, coming back and saying, woo, blew it again here. it really does have some potential for healing. Whether it does or not, I think it is part of just doing the next right thing. The Bible says, as much as it's up to you, and you don't know what his response would be, but I think in that as much as it's up to you column, I think a great, humble apology and a desire to hear could go a long way. I'm so glad you called. I'm going to send you Amanda's book, All My Friends Have Issues.
For most of my life, I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
God pulled me out of the gutter of my life that I was living in.
I have done a lot of work over the last 40 years. This is the first time I've ever felt love.
I've had such a wonderful weekend here, and for the first time in a long time, I've felt at home.
And the Lord has set me free from my mother's story about me not being good enough.
The New Life Finding Freedom Workshop is coming to Dallas, Texas, September 20th to the 22nd.
We're going
to
talk about forgiveness and codependency. We're going to understand that family of origin, the unhealthy reactions to it. We're going to talk about the cycle of shame and surrender and developing the plan that moves us forward. There'll be 8 teaching sessions and 6 small group sessions.
To register or to learn more about the Finding Freedom Workshop, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
I am living a new life, and I believe that I have the resources and tools to continue that.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterman here. Mylon Yurkovich is in the studio along with Amanda Anderson. She has this wonderful book, All My Friends Have Issues. Larry Sonnenberg's my friend. And Larry,
Hi, Steve.
I'm sure that you might think you have a friend that has a lot of issues, me. And so let's talk about that's the reason we're here, huh?
The joke just issues. Never gets old.
Yes, we
issues.
Are.
We have issues.
We have
all
issues.
All of us do.
And
yeah.
I want to tell you about a guy that has issues.
Which guy?
I mean, there's. I'm going to tell you here in a minute. No, I like to tell people about why they should give, about the impact this ministry has all the time. And this is very different.
Well, you're laughing, and
yeah.
So
you know, when Larry
offended,
starts yeah. laughing, sometimes it gets out of control. But go ahead, Larry.
One of our ministry service representatives, Jeff, got a phone call, and he sent me an email. He says, "I can't make this up." He said, "A guy just gave $50 towards the matching gift fund. I asked him if he wanted the grocery tote and people fuel book, and he did. However, he wanted the entire $50 to go to New Life, so he paid for the book and shipping. But here's the interesting part. He had a dream for the past 3 nights that Larry was outside.
You were outside his window.
I was outside his window at around 1 in the morning asking for help. And one of the evenings, Larry was holding a ukulele. Now, because of the ukulele, I was wondering if he got Larry mixed up with Steve.
That's right, because I have a ukulele.
That's right.
Collection. Yeah.
But at any rate, we had
a good laugh
together about his dreams. So I'm just, you know, this ministry makes a lot of difference in a lot of people's lives in ways we don't expect or even recommend.
Right. Well, you know what I think, too, Larry, is that you are a dream because you've helped so many nightmares get turned around, and we only can do that with the support of other people. And we don't want folks to be asleep at the wheel. we want them to help us, right?
Yeah, I don't want to take this lightly, but that was funny. I had to share.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it's amazing.
Our matching gift is really important.
Yeah,
we are 54% matched, and we've gone through 61% of the time we have to get it matched. So we're lagging a little bit.
Okay.
But momentum is still catching up. We're doing okay, but we still need you to make a gift. We have $148,000 to go. And if you could make a gift of any size, unless you have $150,000 you want to give, we won't quite match that.
Okay. Yeah.
But any size, it'll be doubled. I repeat myself often, and people often say, I wish I could give more, and now you can. Yep. Make a gift, $10, $20, $50, $100, $1,000, $5,000, whatever you give, it will be doubled. And
it will
make a big difference in us, New Life, reaching more people, helping more people, and lives of more people being changed.
So, right, so I want to say, because I always say this, it's really important, and New Life raises money because in Christian radio, this ministry has to pay for the airtime. In secular radio, the advertisers pay for the airtime. But in Christian radio, oddly enough, both happen. The advertisers pay and the Christian ministries do. So it costs a lot of money to be a nationally syndicated counseling call-in show. And then also to provide scholarships to people for all of the workshops New Life does generously. I, as a person who just comes in to do radio, I don't work for New Life. I just want you to know this is a great corporation, and you can give with a great heart and for the right reasons.
Thank you.
All right, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Thank you, Mylon. Thank you, Larry. 1-800-NEWLIFE. Call us if you can help us. It really is important. If God's moving in your life, if you're feeling that little nudge, very, very important, because this is summer, and summer's always difficult for all ministries. So if at all possible, please help us. We'll send you a copy of Dr. John Townsend's book, People Fuel. It's a great, great, wonderful book, and I know that you'll love it there. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. All right, let's go to Gene. He's calling from Los Angeles, California, and I believe probably listens on KKLA. I can't actually pull Gene up yet, but he's calling Gene or she, one or the other, male, female, don't know. They're L.A., KKLA, and hi. Gene, how are you?
Oh, I'm hanging in there.
Well, tell us what's going on. We're doing all right.
Well, my mother was in a horrible auto accident when I was 13, and someone mentioned the other day I've pretty much been caretaking since I was 13, and and it was a big trauma for me. So, I've been on disability for PTSD. I guess that's what the, I don't want to go into that though. And then I guess the lovely woman I spoke to before you, told me to mention, and now I've been, since my mother passed in 2008, I've been caretaking for my World War II veteran father, and we didn't exactly have the, I mean, we love each other immensely. It's just kind of love-hate growing up. But then she mentioned my main question. What I really called initially was the book caught my interest, because how all my friends have issues. But the point you were talking about before the book was about how, I guess the main question was how to not overwhelm people with, like, my pastor issues, because I really haven't had a life on my own yet, and I guess I'm a survivor of the mental health system too, and I'm a little scared I don't want to unload, and I have a toxic family. I mean, when my mother passed, she has the largest family, and I'm an only son, and both sides of my family are pretty toxic, and I've forgiven my father, but my mother used to literally kept us from killing each other at times, just. And it's strange, you know. My mother was a Navy officer, a nurse in World War II. She was a World War II veteran, too, in Japan. And then they met when my father was in maintenance at the Naval Academy. Yes, sir.
Let's just stick to this one thing here. And what's so obvious is there's so much pain in your voice. And you talk about loving your dad, but now to hear that your mom kind of kept you from killing each other, it's really really sad for us. If there's one question we could help you with, what would that be?
Well, it would be to I don't really know how to connect properly with others. I've lived a pretty lonely life, and even though I've done everything they told me, I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Because I ended up in NIH when I was like 15. Well, my father's father died when he was 15. I know, I'm going off. I'm sorry.
Yeah. All right, so here's the thing. I'm gonna say one thing, and I'm going to let Mylan say one thing, and then Amanda will chime in too. But I really believe that a guy like you, you need a group. Growth really happens in a group, and in a group that can hear you, can say to you, oh, you know, that's a little too much, or talk to you and help and encourage and connect with you. But I really think that there is a life recovery group, a men's Bible study where people talk and discuss. But you're going to have to figure out a way. If you want out of where you are, you're going to have to figure out a way to get yourself free for at least the amount of time to be out of that house in a group where you can, first of all, you need to be able to connect with other men in some kind of men's Bible study, men's share group, life recovery group, something. Maybe it begins in a grief share group, but you're going to have to find a group. Mylan, your thoughts here.
Gene, how old are you, Gene?
I want you to know, too. I'm 62.
Okay. You wanted us to know something else? What was that?
Well, yeah, I'm not really reflecting where I'm at because I've come a long way. I actually am in a Saturday morning men's group that is amazing. I got invited years ago, and it started in the hospital, and it's still at the hospital every Saturday morning. And I really started to develop relationships, and I went to support a friend at Celebrate Recovery, and I'd been in that before, and I've gone through 12-step programs when I couldn't afford a therapist or whatever, and I just reached out after 7 years of not doing therapy. I just started with a new therapist, a man, and it was a challenge to go back, because I've initially happened.
Okay, Gene.
The mental health system kind of.
Gene, I need to ask you to stop for a second here, Gene, so we can try to answer your question. I just want to encourage you to say, well done that you helped to take care of people who had needs. And as the only child, the mantle of that responsibility fell on your shoulders. But yet, as you said, the individuation, or who is Gene as an individual, and the differentiation, who is Gene different from my family, was not able to develop. And so one thing that I would suggest to you is you're going to have to be very intentional to develop relationships. And then I would highly recommend that you develop relationships outside the mental health world, outside the hospital, that you get involved with people that are in the normal course of life, and you begin to have dialogues and learn to. You have to really learn something you never learned before as an adult. We'll be back.
I came into this thinking that my husband was the cause of many of our issues.
The New Life Intimacy and Marriage Workshop is coming to Columbus, Ohio, October 25th to the 27th.
But after learning about our attachment styles, I understood how our past hurts were playing into our present problems.
Join Steve Arterburn.
It's been a dream of mine for a long time to help people to grow more intimately together, and we believe that everybody has room to grow in the intimacy level of their life.
And Mylan and Kay Yurkovich.
We help couples understand how their attachment style is sabotaging their current relationship, and then we teach them how to create comfort in a relationship.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or go to newlife.com.
Here at this workshop, we had our first ever conversation without yelling, blaming, and accusing.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Last year, after every man's battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, and we're talking with Gene. He's served all his life. He's been a caretaker all his life, and we're trying to encourage him to do some things for Gene. Mylon said, hey, get in a group that's not related to the mental health system or the hospital. Amanda, what do you think here? I mean, you've got a great book on how to connect.
Gene, what I want to suggest to you is to check out a group for codependency, a Codependence Anonymous group. If you can find a New Life Recovery group for codependency, that's great. A codependence.org meeting is great. Codependency is a behavior of caretaking that we learn from childhood. We over-identify with the pain of other people, and we disassociate from our own. We don't have our own needs. We feel guilty when we have our own even hobbies. We don't know what we actually even enjoy doing. And so that specific support group can really help you to connect with other people with that specific issue. We start to hear each other's stories out loud, and it becomes really helpful. When Mylon said we need to get you out into the world to connect, my first thought was he could do some volunteer work. But no, we don't want you serving anybody else. We don't want to put you in the role of I'm here to help, because you've been in the role I'm here to help your whole life. So is there something that you enjoy doing that you can join? Can you go take a class in golfing, hitting some balls? Can you go take a tennis lesson? Can you find something to connect with that you enjoy? Because if you've been a caretaker, you haven't allowed yourself to find what you really enjoy, and that's soul feeding. It'll give you something to talk about and connect with. Right. So you're not so everywhere you go to connect with people, you're not just talking about trauma. Yeah. You're learning to connect with people in a social situation beyond trauma, beyond pain, in some new ways.
Okay, so I'm going to send you her book, and I think you're going to like it. And there's some really great stuff in here for you in developing some friendships. The issue of oversharing is here. And so all my friends have issues coming your way, Gene. I'm so glad you called. I want to hear about things a year from now, because I really believe that God's got a life for you outside of caretaking, and I hope we've said something that might get you into a different mode. Let's go over here to Becky, Goshen, Indiana, watches us on television, NRB. Hey, Becky, how are you? How can we help today? Don't have a lot of time, but I did want to get to your call.
Okay, thank you. Yes, I'm doing all right. My son was married back in 06, and just a year and a half ago, his wife left and took the kids, didn't know where they were for, 5 weeks. Anyhow, the short of it is they divorced about 6 months ago by her choice. He did all in his power to heal the marriage. And she wouldn't go for any kind of, counseling.
Okay.
As far as an intensive kind of thing.
Yeah.
So my question is, I am his mom, and now she has decided she...
decided what?
And she's
what,
pursuing
what has she
him.
Decided? What has she decided?
She...
Well, you cut out there. Oh, boy.
Oh, sorry.
Did you say that she wants the marriage to get back together?
Yes.
And what is his thought on that?
Mental health issues that I know, you know, can be helped, but she's in a better thinking now.
Mm-hmm.
But my question is, it's been a year and a half since she left, and then he got physical custody of the kids just because that made the most sense to outside, you know, mm-hmm. observation. So now that she wants to come back, I don't know if she's safe, really. And I'm afraid for them to jump back into the...
Well, they shouldn't jump back in together. They should be in a process. Mylan, what do you think are some key things in the process of exploring reconciliation here?
Well, marriage is a great exposure. It's a full-length mirror that shows us who we are to one another. And mm-hmm. this marriage plus children stressed the relationship, and she had to leave. And she took the kids, which... legally, you just can't do. You just can't walk away with the kids and take them as though you own them or they're your possession. But there's a lot of things going on before she left. And so you have to analyze what was going on. So a good couples therapist that could help them go back and trace their lives, create an autobiographical sketch of themselves to help them understand why they do what they do. And until they understand that and then the core pattern of what was going on in between those times in the relationship, what was the reactivity? What was going on in there? And unless they have a handle on that, this will happen again because they don't know what caused the hurricane that caused the division to take place. They have to have somebody help them analyze that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, they did go to a counselor 9 years ago.
Yeah. Okay. So
and over... Well,
time to do it again.
They did.
Well,
all right.
Go ahead, Steve and Amanda.
Well, I'm just, because we have so little time. Amanda, you had a quick comment there?
Well, I just said it's time to do that again. Time to get back into counseling. One of the things that's interesting to explore is why did they pick each other in the first place?
Which is, that's the point of helping them understand all that.
Right.
Right.
So the Bible says that we should love with knowledge and depth of insight. So... how can we get some counseling so that they can love each other with more knowledge and depth of insight? Because love is not enough. Feeling one partner feeling better right now is not going to do it.
Right.
So, heard it said by me here several times already, frequently, one thing does not fix everything. And mm-hmm. especially the one thing of just getting back together. That really fixes nothing. Mm-hmm. We want that to happen, but we want to do the prep work so that when the people are back together, they stay together, and it's a better situation. The best thing I think you could do is find funding for them, if they don't have it, to get the help that would lead to the premarital process that could provide healing, repair, and then, you know, a complete restoration. That would be the goal. Well, we're just about out of time. If you would like a copy of this great book, All My Friends Have Issues. And it's really a book about how to be friends and work through and bring all of who you are with your issues into a friendship, mm-hmm. not just to tolerate, but to truly connect authentically with another person in an authentic relationship. You call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have it here. Amanda Anderson is the author, and she's going to be speaking at our 12 Steps to Happier. It's our mm-hmm. Life Recovery Conference there in October 5th. In Southern California. By the way, this weekend, I'll be preaching at Northview Church. You could watch it, northviewchurch.us. 12 Steps for Anyone is the topic, and it's all about loving well. And, you know, this book is a great book about loving well in friendship. Mylan Kay's book, How We Love, I think, is when it comes to marriage, it's the best loving well book that you could possibly get. We have those there. You just call us. By the way, this Friday, Every Man's Battle is in Washington, D.C. And if you cherish and honor this country and the freedom we experience, how about getting some for yourself if you are really in prison over lust and pornography, affairs, and other things? You could be the man God called you to be. Restore is July the 19th. That's in Dallas. That's for the woman who has been in a relationship with a man with a sexual integrity problem. And then we're going to do Finding Freedom September the 20th. We really do need your help here. We'll send you a copy of People Fuel by John Townsend as a way to say thank you. If you need help with anything, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's why we're there. People got up this morning to answer that phone at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Call us if you need help. Help us if you can. And thank you, Amanda. Her book, All My Friends Have Issues. Get a copy.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.